Jesus' three-step plan for living a successful Christian life. We're going to jump right into this tonight. In step number two, this morning was step number one. I'll give you the quick review on that. I'm not going to spend much time on that, but that way you can get caught up to speed. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 28. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he gives them a challenge. Let's go ahead and read that to start with. Matthew 16, verse 24 through 28. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see the three steps laid out right there. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ. Verse 25, For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We're still talking about following Christ. We're still talking about denying ourselves. We're still talking about taking up the cross. We're still talking about following Him. Verse 27, For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Now this morning, we gave you that very first step. That first step, step number one of living a successful Christian life is to deny yourself. Seems very, very straightforward there, but we broke that down because Jesus gave us three statements. He said, let him deny himself. The very next verse, he taught us to lose our life. And in the next verse, he taught us to lose the whole world or be willing to give up the whole world. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So we saw three similar statements that have to do with denying ourselves. That's step number one. Now tonight in step number two, we're going to see, I'm having a difficult time trying to not get all tangled up here. We're going to see three similar statements that have to do with that second thing that he said to do, and that is to take up your cross. Look at verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and, here's step number two, take up his cross. This is very important to understand. This is not Jesus' cross. He already carried his cross. He paid the price for sins. You don't have to pay the price for your sins. He already did that. But Jesus says, I want you to take up your cross. I have a burden that I want you to carry. So he said, take up your cross. And then in verse number 25, you see a verse that's going to be similar there, or some words that are going to be similar. It's different than take up his cross. We'll just look at it. Verse number 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Now look at this. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake. When you get to that for my sake, you see what he's talking about, this taking up his cross. We'll explain that here in just a little bit. And then verse number 26. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And in those three statements, if you listen carefully, you hear this. You'll hear, take up your cross. You hear, for Christ's sake. And then you'll hear this, choosing Christ over the world. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you going to live for? What are you going to trade your life for? Step one, let's bring our wagon back over here from this morning. We reloaded it. We backslid pretty bad, actually. So we brought our wagon back over here this morning. Step number one is to deny yourself. If you remember this morning, step one is about unloading the things, motives, and masters that don't belong. So we'll do this quickly. First of all, if I'm going to live a successful Christian life, I've got to unload my life. All the things that I want to, if you were here this morning, help me out. There were three things. All the things that I want to, what was the first one? Do. All the things that I want to do, I've got to give that to God and say, God, I'm going to take what I want to do, and I'm going to give it to you, and you do whatever you want with it. Well, the second thing was, God, all the things that I want to have, all these things in my life that I want to have, and I'm going to unload those, and if you want me to have them, I'll have them. If you don't want me to have them, that's fine. I don't have them, but basically, I'm giving it all to you, everything that I want to do, everything that I want to have. And the last thing was, everything I want to be. Everything I want to do, everything I want to have, everything that I want to be. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the world, the Bible says there I believe it's 1 John. And so, God, I really want to be some things. And here's the things that I want to be, and I'm going to take them, and I'm going to unload it. So that was step number one, me taking my life and saying, God, I deny myself, I'll lose my life, I'll give up the whole world. But you're not done with that. Once you do that, you got a great start. You go in the right direction, but you're still not living your life to your potential. Step number two is about replacing those things with the right things, the right motives, the right masters, the things that do belong in your life. I need to deny myself, lose my life, give up the world, but that's not the end game. That's not what I'm trying to get to. I want to follow Christ. Jesus said, if you will come after me, you got to do these things. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. The goal in life is not to get rid of stuff. The goal in life is not to live in poverty. The goal in life is not to move to a monastery somewhere and do nothing with your life. That is not the goal in life, right? Sometimes it sounds peaceful. I would survive about a week before I go crazy. That's not the goal. The goal is to follow Christ. But the first step is to empty my life of those things that are keeping it full, because God can't fill somebody that's already full of themselves. God can't fill somebody that's already full of the world. And he can't fill somebody that's so full of the pride of life that he needs a space to be able to put his will, if I could say it that way. So we get to this point where it says, take up your cross. Now the world tries to convince us that if we give everything to God, we'll be left empty with nothing. So this is what the world tries to convince us of. If you take all of this out of this wagon, this is exactly what your life is going to look like. Empty. But that's only the first step. That's just the first part of it. Emptying my life, getting rid of all these things. It's me denying myself and saying, God, I'm going to give up all of me so that you can fill me with what you want to fill me with. They try to convince us that if we give our best to God, well, logic with me a minute. If you give your best to somebody, what are you left with? The worst. And the world tries to convince us, if you give your best to God, you're going to be left with only the worst. You're going to be left with the leftovers. The world tries to convince us, if we allow God to determine our destiny, we will waste our lives. They'll tell us that if we do God's will, we're going to be miserable. That's what the world is going to try to convince us of. So many times whenever I was getting ready to go, I was trying to decide, am I going to go to Bible college? What am I going to do? So many people, so many different places would try to influence me, say, you don't want to go to Bible college. You need to do a career. You need to get something to fall back on. You need to do something different besides being a preacher. I mean, what kind of future does that have? Let me tell you, I'm so glad I decided just to go with what God told me to do. But the world's going to try to convince you otherwise. If denying yourself, step number one, is removing the things that God doesn't want in your life, then taking up your cross is replacing those things with what God does want in your life. So this is important to understand. Step number one was emptying my life. Step number two is saying, God, you put what you want into my life. I'm going to let you choose. There's a lot of things that I would put into my life if I was going to choose. For example, today is National Ice Cream Day. Did you know that? We found that out kind of late in the day. National Ice Cream Day. You'd think Dairy Queen would be giving free ice cream. I don't even know if they are. I would love to fill my life with ice cream. I would. That'd be wonderful. You know, and all that other kind of stuff. If I did that, it would be a problem. But I said, God, I would like to fill my life with these certain things, but I'm going to let you put what you want back into my life. That's what step number two is all about. Taking up your cross. It's not just about what you don't do in life. It's not just about, I'm not sinning, I'm staying away from the casinos, I'm not being bad. It's not just about that. It's about, now God, what do you want me to do? It's not just the absence of the wrong. It's the, I need to do what is right. Take up your cross. Taking up your cross isn't just giving up your life, but it's giving over your life to God. Can you find Romans chapter 12, verse 1? I want you to find it, because this is a verse that you need to go back to probably often and know what it says and be able to look it up. Let me give you this statement that I just said again while you're finding that. Taking up your cross is not just giving up your life, but giving over your life to God. It's not saying, well, I guess my life is done because I yield it to Christ. Guess it's over. Guess all the fun is done. I guess I'm doomed to a miserable, boring life with no excitement at all. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about emptying our life so that Christ can fill it, taking up our cross. Romans 12:1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, what's the next three words? A living sacrifice. This sacrifice is not giving up my life, it's giving over my life so that I can live my life for God. A little bit later, we see that it's wholly acceptable and it's our reasonable service to do that. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I'm going to read this to you quickly. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Isn't that an interesting verse? How can you be crucified and live at the same time? How can you be a living sacrifice? Well, we're talking about denying ourselves and then taking up the cross of Christ, or taking up the cross that Christ has for us. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Taking up your cross is not just being crucified. It's living after you've been crucified. It's living the life that Christ wants you to live. So you've got this statement. It's in verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, what's he have to do? Let him deny himself and take up his cross. If you look at verse number 25, are you back in Matthew 16? That's where we're going to be most of the time. Matthew 16, verse 25. He says kind of the same thing, but in a different way. Now he says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life, losing his life, that's the denying yourself. But the for my sake is the taking up the cross. I'm not just losing my life for no reason. I'm not just trying to find some place where I can waste my life and get rid of my life. I'm losing my life for Christ's sake. I'm denying myself so that I can take up the cross. Taking up your cross is not just losing your life. You've got to understand this. It's losing your life for Christ's sake. Now, losing your life is just the first part that's necessary to make room for the second part. Losing your life, emptying all the stuff out of your life, everything I want to do, everything I want to have, everything I want to be, that's just the first part. So now I can make room so God can begin to put back into my life the things that do belong. Losing my life is the first part. And then now I can say, I want to live for Christ. Losing your life, this is important, makes you fillable. I'm not sure if that's a word. Losing your life makes you fillable, right? Now look at this. If I have this wagon, I'm losing my life, I've given everything up, it's empty. It's fillable. But for Christ's sake, makes me valuable. I'm doing something with my life. I emptied my life in denying myself, losing my life, giving up the world. I emptied myself so that Christ could fill me. And I've got a lot of potential. I've not done anything yet, but I've got a lot of potential. But as Christ begins to fill me, and I say, I want to serve you, and I want to let you fill my life. And my phrase is, for Christ's sake. I want to live my life for Christ's sake. I want to take up my cross. I don't want to just live an empty life. I want to give up everything that you don't want me to have, God, but I want you to fill me with what you do want me to have. I want to take up my cross. When you live for Christ's sake, you can accomplish God's great plan for your life. Losing your life, emptying it makes you fillable. Living for Christ's sake makes you valuable. Now, you have value. Everybody has value with God. I want you to understand that. But if I just empty my life and do nothing, what am I going to accomplish for Christ? If I empty my life and then take up my cross, I do God's will. I say, God, I will live my life for your sake. Now I'm accomplishing something with my life. I have a purpose that I could fulfill that God wants me to do. When you're empty of yourself, you're available. And you have potential, but you're still not accomplishing anything. What's the point if this was empty? Let's empty it again. I'm getting my exercise tonight. Taking everything out. We're losing our life. Okay, we denied ourselves. We lost our life. And now we're empty. Let me ask you this. What's the point in pushing this around? I feel like I'm accomplishing a lot. I'm pushing a wheelbarrow around. A lot of action, but I'm not taking anything anywhere. Right? You see what I'm saying? If I just empty myself of the stuff that shouldn't be there, and I stop right there, I don't go to this next step, I'm really not accomplishing. What's the point of pushing that around? When you're empty of yourself and the world and filled with, for Christ's sake, you can live a life that matters. Do you see that second step? I'm empty of myself, I'm empty of the world, and now I can fill myself or let Christ fill me for Christ's sake. Now I've got purpose. Now I can accomplish something. When missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Remember Jim Elliot? How many of you know who Jim Elliot was? Jim Elliot went down to, they used to call him the Aka people down in South America. I don't believe that's what they called them anymore. There's a different name for them now. I forget exactly. There's actually a tribal name for them. But he was one of the missionaries that went down there. I believe it was the 1950s. Him and several other missionaries were killed. They were murdered by the people that they were trying to reach. Jim Elliot said this: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And he wasn't just talking about giving up his things and his plans. He wasn't just talking about what he wasn't going to do with his life. He was talking about reaching, living for Christ, reaching people. Have you ever heard of missionary David Livingston? We sing the song, "Bury My Heart on the Mission Field, Lord." That's exactly what David Livingston said. He went to Africa. He said, "I want to reach these people." And when he said, "When I die, I want my heart to be buried in Africa, because this is where my heart is. I want to reach these people." So we have the song, "Bury My Heart on the Mission Field, Lord." But when missionary David Livingston said this: "If a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice?" He wasn't just talking about leaving England. His goal wasn't just to leave England. His goal, it wasn't just like, okay, I've left England, now I've accomplished God's will for my life. It was leaving England and reaching people in Africa. You see, you can't just have the absence of what I'm not supposed to be doing. It's also the taking on in my life of what I am supposed to be doing. It's not just denying myself. It's denying myself for Christ's sake so I can take up my cross, take up the cross. Losing your life for Christ's sake isn't just about unloading your life. It's about loading your life for Christ's sake. Now, I want to make this practical. How many Christians are denying themselves but haven't made the decision to pick up their cross? Denying yourself sounds hard, but carrying a cross sounds even harder. Maybe you've decided not to live for the world, but you haven't decided to live for God. You've made the decision, "I'm going to give up what my plans, my goals, my dreams," but God is calling you to do something and you've not yet said yes to that. Those are two different decisions. One is, "God, I'll yield myself to you and I'll do whatever you want me to do." The other is, "Yes, God, I will do what you are calling me to do." You see the difference there? Those are two different decisions. Most Christians, let me back up. Most Christians don't even get to this first part. Most Christians don't even get to the part where they say, "I'll give up my plans, my dreams, my goals, what I want to do, be, and have. I'll give up all of that for you." Most Christians don't get there. But the ones who do get there, many of them don't get to the next part where they say, "God, I'll take up my cross. I have openly said I am willing to give up these things for you, and I'll do whatever you want me to do, but when you call me specifically to take up my cross, when you called me specifically to live my life for Christ's sake and you gave me a direction, now I'm fighting that." This is where a lot of us are. We've made that decision, but now we've struggled with this decision. We're okay with step number one, but it's step number two, living for Christ's sake. Denying myself, yes, that was hard, but to take up my cross? You may be asking me too much there. You may be talking about more than I can handle there. Maybe you've decided that you're going to be good, but you haven't decided that you are going to be godly. What a difference there is. Maybe you've decided to try not to sin and you're careful, but you've rejected God's call to whatever it was to be a preacher or a missionary or to marry a preacher or to be a Christian school teacher or whatever God's call happens to be for you. Maybe you've said yes to these, or you've said no to the world, but you're struggling in saying yes to Christ. Step number two, you're playing defense, but you really don't plan on playing offense. You feel that you're fulfilling your obligation as a Christian by going to church, and I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just saying this may be where somebody's at. Maybe this will help you. And the reason I'm preaching this tonight is not to rebuke anybody, but to say, listen, if you've done that, the next thing is just to say, I'm going to live for Christ's sake. You can do this. Maybe where you are at right now, you're fulfilling your obligation as a Christian by going to church, but you refuse to pick up your cross to actually serve Christ. You're satisfied being fed, maybe, but you really don't have any desire to do any feeding. You know, there's so many Christians who've been saved, who've won great victories over sin, who've denied themselves, they've rejected the world, and at that point, they think they've done all that Christ expects them to do. I have won these battles, and it was hard to get here. If you have won some of those battles, if you've had that moment where you gave up and you stopped fighting and you gave everything to God, you said, God, everything I want to do, everything I want to be, everything I want to have, I'm going to give that to you. You know, that was a battle. That was hard. You won that battle and you think, I'm there. You're not. You've got a great start. You are going the right direction, but there's more. These Christians that have won that battle, they think they've done all that Christ expects them to do. Listen, they're saved, but they don't understand why they're not experiencing more of God's blessings. They wonder why they're still feeling the oppressive burdens of life. The burden of sin rolled away at the cross when they got saved, but they still carry the burdens of so many depression or bitterness or anger, frustration, worry. There's so many burdens that they may still be carrying. Now, the answer to those burdens that you're still carrying is in the second step to living the Christian life, that is, take up your cross. When you take up your cross, you're carrying the burden that Jesus has chosen for you. And when you carry the burden that Jesus has chosen for you, it's light, because He helps you carry it. You fought this battle, but you're still carrying burdens. Here's what you got to do. You've emptied your wagon. Now you've got to let God begin to put those burdens back on He wants you to carry. He doesn't want you to go through life doing nothing. He does want you to carry some burdens. But He says, if you will carry these burdens, you carry your cross, those burdens will be light. Jesus said this, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. When you're pulling this wagon full of, for Christ's sake, it's a light burden. In fact, Jesus goes on to say, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Have you rejected the world but have not yet accepted the call of Christ? That may describe some of us. Have you been saved, forgiven, washed in the blood, but you're still living to accomplish your plan instead of God's plan? Are you converted but not yielded to the Holy Spirit? Are you forgiven but not following Christ's plan for your life? Are you saved but not a soul winner? Are you a child of God but not a soldier of the Christ? Step one was challenging and you did that and you yielded your life to God. And now He says, I want you to take up My cross and I want you to reload your life that you just emptied, but not with the things you want. I want you to load it with the things that I want you to carry. He says, take up your cross. He talks about for Christ's sake, whosoever will lose his life for My sake. Then in verse 26, we see the third statement that fits in this category of taking up our cross. Matthew 16, 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. This is a similar statement, and it fits in with there. It just uses different words, so you got to think about this a bit. Remember, the context is following Christ. The context is taking up our cross. The context is for Christ's sake. And then he says this, what does a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What does my soul have to do with following Christ? Where's the connection here? Let me help explain something just real quick. First of all, Jesus said that, what's a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Let's make some sense of that statement here for just a minute. You actually don't lose your soul. You are your soul. Your soul is you. What are we talking about? When you get lost, you ever been lost? You ever been lost in the woods? You ever been lost at the grocery store? Your mom was there and you lost your mom, right? You've been lost. I've been lost. I don't like being lost. It's a scary thing to be lost. But when you got lost, you didn't lose yourself, right? Dad, I told the story this morning about Kevin. I can't find myself, right? You don't lose yourself just because you're lost. You actually know right where you are. You're right here. I may have no clue where I am, but I know I'm right here. I'm lost. But I didn't lose myself. Do you understand where I'm going here? Now, think a little bit deeper here. You're there, but you don't know where you are in relation to anything that matters to you. I know right where I am. I've been lost in the woods. I've been so lost, I didn't know which direction to go. It took us a long time to figure out where we were going. Got lost. Now, I knew where I was. I'm right here. But I didn't know where anything else was. Everything that mattered to me, everything that was important to me, the trail, the dining hall, that's important. Everything that mattered to me, I had no idea where it was in relation to me. Anything that mattered to me, I just didn't know where it was. Now, you are your soul. If you lose your soul, you're still your soul. But you're separated from anything that matters to you. When you lose your soul, it's not like you don't know where you put it. It's you are someplace. And that someplace where you are is so far away from anything that matters to you that you don't know where you're at. A lost person will be separated from God. They don't stop being the person they are. They don't lose their soul. They stay their soul. They are their soul. But they are separated from God. The Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. They lost their soul. They're separated from God. A saved person who lives for the world will also be separated, but from something else, from eternal rewards. Verse number 27, Matthew 16, 27, you see that, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. We're talking about eternity here. We're talking about an eternal soul. We're talking about the reason for taking up your cross. So first I want to empty my life of things that don't belong, and then I want to take up my cross. I want to load up my wagon with, for Christ's sake, things, and then I want to live my life with God's purpose. A soul has a purpose. The first thing God did after he made Adam and made him to be a living soul, after he poked him in the belly and gave him a belly button, was to give him a purpose for being a living soul. You didn't know that's the way it works, right? Adam didn't have a belly button. Adam and Eve, the only people who didn't have a belly button until God poked them, right? Okay, maybe that part didn't happen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Listen to this verse. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And what did man become? Man became a living soul. You know that. The very next verse after man becomes a living soul, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. A few verses later, you see why he put him there. Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden. Why? To dress it and to keep it. A soul has a purpose. You are here for a purpose. Why are you on this earth? It's a really good question to ask. It's a better question to answer. Why am I on this earth? Why are you on this earth? Well, God made you a soul. We're talking about your soul. Remember the context here. Jesus said, deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Then he starts talking about gaining a world, losing your soul, and then the eternal rewards. Then he shall reward every man according to his works. What is he talking about? Your purpose. Why are you on this earth? It's to load your wagon with, for Christ's sake. My purpose isn't to empty my life. My purpose isn't to be separated from the world, although I need to be separated from the world in order to be close to Christ. My purpose is for Christ's sake. But let me ask you, why are you here on this earth? Are you here to survive as long as you can? I mean, that's what most people are here for. What is the purpose of... Okay, now we're going philosophical. Are you okay with that? What's the purpose for being here? I mean, if all I'm going to do is live and work all my life and die and be done, what's my purpose? What's my reason for being here? Are you here just to live and die and somewhere in between those two events produce another generation to do the same thing over again? No, God made you for a purpose. Revelation 4:11, we see that purpose. Thou art worthy, O Lord, they're talking to God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God created you to please him. Isn't that interesting how that goes together with for Christ's sake? Take up your cross for Christ's sake, created to please him. We all need a time in our life, and we're coming down to the conclusion here. It's all going to pull together. We need a time in our life when our purpose completely shifts from me to Christ. What's your purpose? Is my purpose me, or is my purpose Christ? Is my purpose for Christ's sake? There needs to be a point in every Christian's life where they come to this point where they say, God, I'm no longer going to live my life for me. I'm going to live my life for Christ. This can be a life-changing, emotional, transformational event. There could be tears. There could be a huge relief just taken off our hearts, like this burden was just taken off, or not. But that event needs to happen. That time happened. Now, I'm not talking about getting saved. That we're not talking about, this is not the salvation experience. This is after salvation where a person realizes, sometimes it can happen at the same time, but this is where I realize I have a purpose in life. And my purpose in life isn't to live for me. My purpose in life is to live for God. So God, I'm going to empty my life of everything that I want to be, want to have, want to do, and I am going to take up my cross and I'm going to live my life for you. You need that moment in your life. That time happened to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. I believe that happened either the same time or very close to the same time he got saved. Eventually, the Apostle Paul could say, for me to live is Christ. What's the Apostle Paul's purpose? Christ. I'm living for Christ. What are you living for? Is there a time in your life when you gave yourself completely to Jesus Christ to use totally as he desires? And I'm not talking about salvation right here. Let me explain the difference. Salvation happens when you accept Jesus Christ as the complete payment for your sins. Salvation isn't giving your life to Christ. You don't give Christ anything. You accept Christ's payment for your sins. He did everything for salvation. You just accept it. It's a free gift. You accept it. What we are talking about is giving your life to Christ. And that's separate than salvation. So let me ask you again. Has there been a time in your life when you gave everything in your life to God? Your plans, your dreams, your desires, your family, your career, your future, your bucket list, as we talked about this morning? Can you honestly say, he must increase, but I must decrease? And mean that? Has there been a time in your life where you have, between you and God, said, God, I am willing for you to load up my life with whatever you want in my life. I've already emptied it. I've given my life to you, but I surrender to your call. Yes, I'll be whatever it is that God calls you to be. Yes, I will do that. Just like we need a life-changing moment of yielding to God, we need many, many times in our life when we correct our purpose. We're talking about purpose in life because of the natural drift that happens. You'll notice the natural drift that happens with... We can get close to God and then kind of just cool off over time. You go to summer camp and you're excited about serving God, make some decisions, on fire for God, and then over time you just kind of drift away from that. I remember times as a teenager, I got to be part of a youth group for a little while. I'd come home on a Friday night after being part of that youth group and just so excited. I remember being my room and just telling God, God, I want to do anything you want me to do. I live my life for you. I want to serve you. And then time goes by and you just drift. That natural drift happens. And you've got a purpose. And you've surrendered your life to God. You said, God, I want to live my life for Christ's sake. This is what I want to do with my life. And then you find yourself drifting from that. We've got to have not just that one time in our life. And again, I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm talking about serving God. I'm talking about for Christ's sake. I'm talking about taking up our cross. Many times in our life where we go back and we say, God, I've kind of drifted. God, I said I was going to give you everything. God, I said I was going to take up my cross. And I find myself kind of not wanting to do that right now. So I need to re-yield myself to you. I gave everything to God when I was a teenager. I gave him my future, the choice of my career, the choice of my wife, my kids that I didn't even know yet. Everything I had, everything I hoped to have. Sometimes I find myself getting selfish, so I have to give it back to him. Got to give it to him again, and you're going to be the same way. I gave each of my kids to God when they were born. My wife and I, we made a decision. These are not our kids. These are God's kids. They belong to him. We'll do our best to raise them for you, Lord, but these kids are your kids. But we gave them to God when they were born, but we keep finding ourselves taking them back a little at a time as they get older. So we've got to rededicate that. Got to give them back to you. God, I want to take up your cross still. I still want my life to be about for Christ's sake and not about for my sake. I surrender my life to serve God, but I find myself taking my life back a little bit at a time. There's got to be this regular time where I come back to God and I say, God, it's still yours. God, it's still yours. Every one of us, regardless of the decisions we made in the past, we still need to be able to tell God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do, and I still surrender all. Maybe there was a time in your life where you said, God, you can have my plans, my dreams, my future. I'm going to give it all to you. My life is yours. You just guide me where you want me to go, and I'll do that. Jesus said, deny yourself. That's what you did. Maybe there's been a time in your life where you've taken up your cross. You've unloaded your wagon. You let Christ reload your wagon. You've taken up your cross. You said, God, I'll serve you any way you want me to serve you. But there will be regular times where you need to go back and say, God, I still want to take up your cross. I still want to serve you. I still want to do your will. I still want to carry that wagon with your purpose, not my purpose. We talked about a soul. A soul is eternal. We're just about done. One day your body will die and your soul will pass into eternity. In Matthew 16, verse 27, the Bible says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So the question is this, what preparations are you making now to receive your rewards then? Have you emptied your wagon of self? That's good. Have you let Jesus reload it with for Christ's sake? Have you taken up your cross? Have you made a decision to spend your life so that you will receive these rewards we're talking about, these eternal rewards? And I guess the question to finish this tonight is this, are you living your life for Christ's sake? Are you living your life for Christ's sake? It starts with denying yourself, saying no to myself, saying no to the world, denying myself. Continues with taking up my cross, continues with living for Christ's sake. Are you living your life for Christ's sake? A three-step plan for living a successful Christian life. Deny yourself, take up your cross. The next point we're not going to get to tonight, and Jesus said it's so simple, and follow me. Are you living your life for Christ's sake? Father, I pray that you would reveal in our hearts what we're living for. Every one of us, Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts this evening. Lord, what are we living for? What is our purpose in this life? Lord, there may be someone in here that hasn't really been able to do step one yet, and they're really still living for themselves. There's some things they want to be and some things they want to do and some things they want to have. And those are keeping their life full so that you can't fill their life what you want them to have. Lord, tonight I pray that you'd work in every one of their heart. And I pray that you would help them to say, God, you can have these things. You can have those things. And Lord, there may be someone here tonight they've made that progress in their Christian life. And Lord, they've given their life to you and they want to serve you. And they are ready for you to say, here's what I want you to do. Here's your cross. Here's how I want you to serve me. Lord, I pray that when that time comes, every one of us will just say yes. Yes, Lord, I want to serve you. I'm willing to take up my cross. Yes, Lord, I want to live for Christ's sake.